So can we pray together? Loving God, it is always a joy to be in your presence, to be with your people, to be your voice for this time, for such a time as this. And we just thank you for yet another time to praise, to worship, to glorify you. And for this, we say thank you. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Again, if we will, go to the Word of God with me. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles 17. I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse 14. Very familiar scripture. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. And a topic of discussion for us to consider: is God colorblind? Is God colorblind? And I'll be moving back and forth so I can make sure I see too. And before, as we get started, I have an activity for us to participate in, because I like to give people visuals and help people to see, just ask, what are we seeing when we see what we see? And it's also about what our perceptions are and how do we perceive things. So I'm asking for y'all to talk back to me, okay? So this image that we see behind me now, what do y'all see? What words do you see in the image? You see good. How many people see good? How many people see evil? Does anybody see evil? Does anybody see evil? Look at the G and lean side. Yeah, kind of lean to the side. You see how you have to see, how do you have to kind of lean to see evil? How's that like in our world today? Now, what do you see? What images do you see? On the left, what do you see? A face? A face. There's a face. There is a man in there. Okay, those of you who see the face, who sees the face? Almost everybody sees the face. Okay, look at the nose. And it's almost like his hand, and where his mouth is, it's like the bottom end of a coat. And then where his ear is, it's like an arm, and he's looking into a dark place. Do y'all see it now? You see it? See right there? It's like he's leaning in and looking into the dark hair part is like a dark place. So where the man's eye and head is, that's the thing, that's the person's head from the back or the side. And then it's like he's got a furry arm. Y'all see it? Okay. Now, what do you see in the next image? Who sees the duck? Does anybody see the rabbit? Do you see that? Miss Goodown sees the rabbit. Does anybody see the rabbit? Miss Goodown over here sees the rabbit. Do y'all see the rabbit? Okay, instead of seeing the duck beak, turn the duck sideways and take away the beak, and where the duck eye is the rabbit's eye, and the back of the duck head is the rabbit's mouth. And so the rabbit ears are going straight back. Y'all see it now? Okay, let's make sure. Okay, what do you see now? What do you guys see now? How many sees the young girl? Almost everybody sees the young girl. Does anybody see the older woman? Okay. So, who saw the older woman first? Okay. Who saw the young girl first? Okay. What about on the other side? Mama say, I don't know what that is. Do y'all see the same image but kind of different? Do you see the older woman? Who see the older woman? Do you see the younger girl? So this, the side, the cheek, the profile of the young lady is the old woman's nose, big nose. And then that's the older lady's mouth. And the white part is like a thing over her head. Y'all see? Okay. What you see first, it does know, especially with these here, it's like if you are in a more positive and kind of happy face place, you see the young girl first. But if you see the older woman first, then you kind of like, kind of old things, for lack of a better way of putting it. Okay, now this one, I'm going the wrong way again. Now this one, I have to explain the details to you, and I hope it'll work. But y'all see the four dots right there? I hope this works. If you guys look at the four dots, look at the four dots for like 30 seconds. Look at the four dots. I'm gonna have to do this one. Four dots, look at the four dots and just concentrate on the four dots. Just keep looking at them and just concentrate on those four dots. Okay, now close your eyes and look towards the light. What do y'all see? You have to almost be right. You have to look, concentrate on, this is a big, I hope it works. Isn't working as well. But you know what, that goes with the lesson. I can almost see it. Did you guys see an image of Jesus when you closed your eyes? You did. Okay. That's kind of the point of this right here. If you look at those four dots, and you concentrate really, really hard on them, and then you close your eyes and look towards a bright spot, towards the light of the window, you should see the image of Jesus when you close your eyes. If it's still not working, boo. So I'll go to the next slide here. And the whole point of all of these pictures and what we're seeing is based on perception. So much of what we see and do not see is based on perception. And what is perception for us? Perception is the ability to see or hear and be aware of something through our senses. It's a state of being or a process of or being of becoming aware of something through our senses. And then you have all of these other words of what perception is. It's what we think, it's how we perceive, it's how we discern things, we imagine, that's how we recognize things, and it's through our perception. And so when we think of our society, the topic on racial consciousness, racial reconciliation, racial conflict, at the end of the day, it all comes down to perception and what we see and how we see. And we see life and events based on our perceptions. So how are we seeing and how are we perceiving the things that we see? You guys remember back in the day they used to have bracelets, t-shirts, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Well, for our time today, another concept would be WWJS. What would Jesus see? because I'm convinced that before we're able to do what Jesus would do, we have to be able to WWJT. What would Jesus think? What would Jesus see? What would Jesus say would be the other is. And then we are more empowered to WWJD. I think sometimes we try to figure out what Jesus would do, but we haven't looked at things the way Jesus would look at them. And this is the key to how we answer not just the racial question, but every question that we have to deal with in our society. I don't know if you can see the glass very well, but there's a concept that also says, how do you see the glass? Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? And if we tend to see the glass mostly half empty, well, sometimes that's also an indicator of how we are perceiving and seeing situations. Or maybe you don't see the glass half empty or being half full, either one. You're just glad that the glass is being filled. And you don't know where it's going to end. You're just glad that there's something wonderful going into that glass. Amen. And so to answer this question, going to Genesis chapter 1. So God created humanity, human race is in his image. Think about that as I read this. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our life, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created, in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created him them, and God blessed them. To me, this is the beginning of where the answer to the racial conflict question begins to have its answer. And how does God see us? Look around this room. What do you see? Y'all see any crickets? Frogs? Monkeys? Birds? Mosquitoes? Well, that's a possibility, but we see people. But let's change this scripture up just a tad, because I like doing that sometimes. And God said, let us make my children in our image. Let us make our children in our image. And continue to read that. And let them have dominion, not over each other, but over the fish, over the fowl, over the cattle. How does that read for you now, rather than just man? Because some men may have the opinion that men, not women. But then he flips it around and say, wait a minute, I have to get the women in there. And he created them male and female. So the question bears asking, what do you think God sees when God looks at us? What do y'all think God sees when God looks at us? Again, from the perspective of race, what do you think it would look like if we had Christ vision, God vision? Was it Michael Jackson who sang the song, "It Don't Matter If You Black or White"? Ebony and ivory. We are the world. We are the children. And even the world recognizes the need for seeing one another more objectively, more compassionately. But most of all, what does it look like when we start seeing one another through God's eyes? We look around the room, we see different complexions, even within the African American race, even within what's called the white race. Chinese, Hispanics, we see so many colors, and they vary. So when I think of color or colorblind, the question that comes to me is, how can our Father, who is so creative, who created color in nature, have a problem with the children with whom he created? I mean, what if we were periwinkle pink, sky blue people? What if we were green? Do you know how many colors of green there are? How many colors of blue that ranges from almost a midnight blue that's almost black, almost to the palest pale of blue that is nearly white? But we seem to relegate it, if you will, to black and white. Holy Spirit says, how limiting of us. So, this is what I really believe that our Father is wanting us to know. We are his children. Wouldn't it be nice if you just see somebody and, that's my sister, that's my brother? Well, you know, we are created in the image of our Father, and he did make them male and female. So, hey, God, how you doing, Jehovah? Elohim, what's up? We are the image. El Shaddai, how you doing today? No matter where we go, the names of God, whatever you call him. Wonderful Counselor, it's been a long time. Because what Jesus said was, what you have done to the least of these, my little children, you've done it unto me. So if I come and kick you, does this literally mean I'm kicking Jesus? Oh, well, Jesus, you shouldn't have been there. Well, you know, Jesus, if you wouldn't have been driving crazy, I wouldn't have had to blow my horn and say other stuff to you. Now, look, Jesus. What you really should do is reconsider that. So whenever we look at scripture from a more enlightened, empowered way, I guess that it... The next question would be going back to scripture and see what our Father has to say on this matter. And what he says is this, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, changing the words again, if my children who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I didn't make a scripture of this, a slide of this picture, but I would also like to add where Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart, souls, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you live out in the boondocks and your neighbor is 5 miles away, you still have to love them no matter how far or near they may be. And when I put this scripture, if my people, if my children who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves. What does that look like? Oh, I got to be humble, Jesus. I let people walk all over me. Ew. So we have to allow our Father to define what does humility from his point of view look like. Humility just might be don't say a word. If it's not edifying to Christ, how can it be edifying to the person or the situation? What does humility look like? And then we pray. I told y'all when I was here the first time, I just cut through the chase and I really try to be aware of what my prayers are. So in the main, I just go straight for Matthew 6. Our Father who art in heaven. Because sometimes you just don't really know what to say. And then we're saying all these things because, well, maybe that'll help. But just go ahead and do what Jesus said. I'm teaching you how to pray. Pray this way. So pray that over the racial reconciliation where we see injustice and strangeness. And then we seek his face. Not CNN, not MSNBC, not Facebook News, not whatever journal paper you may read, but seek my face. I am even going to be bold and courageous enough to say, maybe not even the pastor. Because sometimes it's easy to run to the pastor rather than looking to the hills from which cometh our help. Knowing that our help comes from the Lord. Because, well, you can't see him. So we want to be able to talk to someone and hear him. So I loosely and very cautiously to caution us to seek his face, because that's what he said. Then, oh, I almost forgot. I almost forgot to turn from my wicked ways. Have y'all ever maybe forgotten to turn from your wicked ways? What does it mean for us to be wicked? Maybe seeing something that's really not there. I don't know, an old woman instead of a pretty young girl. A dark space rather than light that's shining through it. What does it mean for us to turn from our wicked ways? Maybe believe God instead of trying to figure out what God's gonna do. Turn from my wicked ways. You mean I have to, like, really, 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 for real, be still and know that God is God? But this situation needs an answer. Well, he already told us to love, but love. What my answer is to everything? Love. What does it look like if we love people who are driving down the road instead of bonking the horn, freaking out, just respond? What does unconditional love on the highway look like? What does grace in action on a Saturday in Clemson traffic on a football game Saturday look like? I used to think that love was like what we did at church and how you treat your friends and family members and significant others. But wait, God said he made us in his image. So what does loving a stranger look like?
Yes. Beware of COVID. How do we love God and show love in a time where we're not supposed to touch and we have to stay 6 feet apart? What if turning from our wicked ways means literally, how can I see that you are God? How can I truly see that what I do to Miss Veda, I mean, Jesus, matters? To me, that's the answer for racial reconciliation. Between Chronicles and loving as Christ said love, to me, that's the answer. I mean, if you get to the point where you're like, I don't know what else to do but love, it makes you see things differently. We respond to media, we respond to the news differently. And piggybacking off of or following the Chronicles scripture, as children of the Most High, we get to choose WWJS. What would Jesus see? We can become divinely blind, starting with us first, and then go forward. What does blind mean for us? I love acronyms. Blind is to be blessed, loving, intentional, which will make you inspired, noble, and divine. So if I'm blind and I see everybody as blind, that means whomever I'm looking at, I'm seeing you as a blessed, loving person. I'm being intentional. If I'm intentional about being love and showing the love of God and seeing you as Jesus, I am going to be inspired to react differently, even to the news, even to whatever news comes to me that may not come over the airways, maybe over the phone or a message. And then here's my favorite part. We get to be noble. Noble. What does it mean for us to be noble? Well, we're children of the Most High God, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? So if we are King's kid, how does a King's kid, how does nobility respond to rumors? How does nobility respond to that moment you forgot to put your mask on and you just weren't thinking, and the person behind you and cough? Like, hey, if we're going to keep it real, let's keep it real. Or you have your mask on. And they. And now you want to go and get that, you know, hand sanitizer, you know. I'm just telling you what goes through. Y'all, we have to be honest. If you cover like that and you don't have a mask, Jesus? You must be a lowly disciple instead. What would Jesus see? What would Jesus do? How does nobility respond? Because, y'all, we are Americans. We live in a democracy. So we have no point of contact about what a king or a king would do. Does the king and queen literally look at their serfs or their people as servants and beneath them? Or do they see them as people who are under their care that need their guidance, and they have to be the example of how to respond with compassion? ULIA, unconditional love in action. Is this what a queen would do? A king? How do you train your little princesses and princes to behave and your other noble court? Nobility comes with holy blindness as children of the Most High God. I mean, y'all do know we are right royalty. When was the last time y'all thought about that? not from an arrogant perspective, but from that humility, from that place of true self-identity through the blood. And the other one is divine. This question or this statement came to me, and it helped me to appreciate seeing the divinity in myself and others. Oftentimes, we put Christ way up here, way out there, and we can't. Well, Jesus is the only perfect person, brother. So you can't possibly be. Or you, and definitely not me. But consider this. When we miss out on Christ's humanity, we miss out on our divinity. Because Christ himself said, I'm son of man and son of God. So if we can't see Christ's humanity, where he may have did a little bit more than just flip a table, we don't have all of the example, how would he react other than the way we have fantasized, if I can use that word, as just being like, you know, no matter what happened, I can imagine Jesus on 85 and somebody cut him off. Go forth, my brethren. Seriously? And they almost made you hit the curb. Oh, those are my children that just weren't driving properly. Well, you know I'm Jesus, so I know he driving like that because he just got bad news and he's rushing home. Or he just found out that his wife is having a baby and he got to get to. We don't think about that, but what would Jesus think and see? He know everything, right? Oh, you just driving crazy. You been drinking again? And you going 95 in a 35 zone? Jesus does know all. How would he respond to all? Not saying he just let people go because he's smooth like that, but hey. Jesus, do you have a bad day? That's the way we talk. Because we have to go beyond this building to be able to be, see, and do what he would. Therefore, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. When was the last time you thought of yourself being a spiritual being, not a super sensitive Christian, church person, trustee, deacon, whatever the titles are, but truly spiritual? Consider this. We are each souls, spirits, housed in this physical body. How does a spirit respond to hatred, injustice, random acts of hatred? We are spiritual beings, right? Consider this. What if we become, say, 51% more spiritual? 49 human. How would we see that which goes on into our world? 51, just 1% more of considering I'm a child of the Most High God and I am noble, not nasty, not naughty, not negative. How does that look? So this is what I want you all to practice doing right here together so you can go out and practice it. Look at somebody and say, the divine in me honors the divine in you. The divine in me honors the divine in you. I don't care whether you are an Eskimo, a person of Japanese or Chinese descent. If we are looking at people and not pets, that is a person, a soul housed in a physical body, and its divinity may be waiting and looking for a way to find out that it really is one, and may be coming in contact with us because of our true Holy Spirit blindness. Our light may shine so bright, we don't have to do nothing but go right ahead. Or just hold a door open. The divine in me honors the divine in you, and I don't have to say a word. How do you do honor? I honor you. How you doing? How do we honor the divine in another? And so, one of the topics that I love is baptism. And that's what I believe helps us. The waters of baptism signify the shed blood of Jesus for us. And through that shed blood, we are able to do, be, see, think, feel, and even know, I will even be courageous enough to say how God, how Jesus would respond. And so I'm going to read this to you because I think it's very important, because it reminds us of our baptism. Remember this when you're in a difficult situation or you're just happy, however you want to. The waters of love, the waters of baptism can go where our conscious minds cannot. You're looking at all the stuff that goes on in the world. We can't go there. We don't have the real answers, but the waters of baptism can go and wash it. The waters of baptism go and wash. This situation in my mind that it just won't seem to go away, wash. Because the waters can go where our consciousness, our physicality, our understanding cannot go. Waters of baptism, wash. Water go over rocks, get in cracks and crooks and crannies that we cannot even. How does water get there? It's water. And that's the way the waters of love, the waters of baptism flow for us in our situation. So come all of you who love the Lord. Remember the great sacrifice Christ made for our salvation to reconcile us all and make us one with the Father. Remember your baptism. If you haven't been baptized, now is a great time for you to be invited to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you how you will make that commitment. Because the waters washes us, cleanses us, purges us, perfects us, renews us, restores us, heals us, completes us. Remember the waters. That cleanses us, making the ultimate exchange of our sin for his love. That's what the waters will do. That's what color blindness from the perspective of the divine looks like. Blind, blessed, loving, intentionally inspired, noble, and divine. Say it with me one more time. The divine in me honors the divine in you. We love. Come on, we love. Because that is the command. Our Father, through Jesus Christ, gave us because we're his children. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.